Holy Father, may we always remember the pioneers of the faith who came from a foreign land to settle in this place, who in the name of our Jesus built a church, who in the interests of Christ's teachings began a seminary, trained pastors, raised a college for people to think in Christ's words and deeds. In their spirit, Holy Father, give us strength to continue the march of faith in the years to come, facing the challenges of our age, giving service in the name of your Son, Jesus, resting in the power and strength of your Holy Spirit. Holy Father, we live in a restless world, but thanks to you, we worship our restful Savior. In him may we continue to find peace, purpose, and life. In Jesus Christ, we all say, Amen.
Greetings, friends in Christ. We welcome you. We appreciate your presence. We thank you for joining with us in this historic occasion, this official opening of our year of jubilation, our year-long celebrating of our centennial. At the close of the academic year on graduation day in May 1984, there will have been completed 100 years of Christian educational activities here on the Dana College Hill. To commemorate and to observe that beginning and to crystallize our sense of thanksgiving, we have arranged various celebrations throughout the entire year, special events which will be taking place. The back of your bulletin calls your attention to the next one scheduled, the Sights and Sounds of Christmas on Sunday, December 4th. The Reverend Robert Schaff, as it indicates, pastor of Lutheran Church of the Master in Omaha, will be speaking, and Miss Donna Peterson, featured vocalist of the San Francisco Opera, will be with us. Please attend this celebration and as many others as you can participate in during the course of this festive year. But I repeat what I said, this is the first of this year-long series of celebrations, and we thank you for your presence and for your affirmation. A special word of welcome to the graduates and former students of Dana College who extended their homecoming weekend and are able to be with us this day. And to all of those friends of Dana, Blair, and Washington County who are with us so often and affirm our presence here, welcome to you as well. We want to extend a very special welcome today to the people of First Lutheran Church in Blair, to Pastors Kurt Sortland and Carl Schottauer, and to all the members of that congregation. We come from the same root. January 22, 1884, the Reverend A.M. Anderson founded the Danish Evangelical Lutheran Church of Blair, and within months, he founded Trinity Seminary, Mother of Dana. We have common roots, a simultaneous beginning, and we rejoice with you members of First Lutheran Church in that fellowship. And we see that fellowship of church and college as a concrete evidence of Dana's roots in the church. I would like for Pastor Carl and Pastor Kurt up here on our platform to stand, that we might welcome them both as persons in their own right and as representatives of First Lutheran Church. And while they are standing, Would you audibly welcome them with a round of applause, please? We were brought into being by the Danish Evangelical Lutheran Church, and we have never left home. The name of the church has been changed, but Dana has always been a child of the church. Today we are a college of the Central District of the American Lutheran Church. Those two phrases, Central District, the American Lutheran Church. From the Central District, we have with us today, celebrating with us, Dr. Wayne Weisenbuehler. Dr. Weisenbuehler is a strong champion of Dana College. Dr. Wayne serves on our Board of Regents and is also one of the co-chairpersons of our centennial campaign. He gives us time on the district agenda to make our case with our congregations. He affirms our cause. He gives us stirring and extraordinary speeches by him on our behalf. Most recently, he set aside September 25th as Dana College Day here in the Central District and made a tape which was played in every one of the congregations of our district, lauding and applauding and supporting Dana College. So I'm going to ask Dr. Wayne Weisenbuehler to stand that we might welcome him both as the bishop of our district and as our friend. And then from the national offices of our American Lutheran Church, we are honored to have with us Dr. David Preuss, elected head and presiding bishop of our 5,000 congregation National Synod, the American Lutheran Church. Dr. David Preuss is an internationally recognized ecumenical world leader, bringing honor and recognition to our synod in his travels. On impressive levels in international ecumenical conversations, his voice is heard and respected. We welcome him today here on our campus as our church leader, but also as our friend. David Preuss is himself a product of a church college. He was literally raised on one of the campuses of our church. His father was president of Luther College, our sister institution in Decorah, Iowa. And there on the campus, David grew up. He has been unstinting in his support of Dana College. One personal example, one of the first contacts I had with David in this office as president was when a gift was made unrestricted and undesignated by a former member of the old UELC. It was given to the American Lutheran Church national offices, and David Preuss came forward and said that since that gift was generated out of the old UELC, it ought to be given to Dana College. By his personal intervention, we benefited by $100,000. This has been typical of the kind of support he has given us. He has always championed our cause. Dr. Preuss, would you stand that we might welcome you too. As we moved ever closer to this centennial year, I read anew the book that most of you are familiar with, The Saga of the Tower, written to commemorate the 75th anniversary of Dana College. I read through it, and as I was searching for some sort of symbol under which I could summarize the past history of Dana College, I came to the conclusion that there could be no better a title for the first century than this, a century of crises. A century of crises. The progress of Dana College, as you read the book, you come to recognize, has not been progressively evolutionary. It has not been every day in every way getting better all the time. Instead, for almost 100 years, The question has been arising, will we make it? Will we make it? It has been a century of crises. Crises precipitated by drought, by enrollment decline, by depression, by war, and even by hog cholera epidemics. I took the time to pick out several pages. I'd like to read some paragraphs to you out of the Saga of the Tower, and I think you will see, without reading the entire book, what I mean when I say a century of crises. Here is something from page 17 from the very beginnings of Dana College. Construction of the first building took over a year. As construction continued, it became clear that $6,000 would not cover the cost of the building. We could have told them that. Synod had agreed that more might be spent if necessary, but that no indebtedness to the Synod was to be incurred. The problem then was that of raising additional funds or leaving off the proposed fourth floor of the building. The decision was to try for extra funds, and despite an epidemic of hog cholera, which had adversely affected the financial condition of the farmers, the new drive succeeded in raising $1,000 more, the first crisis surmounted. Next paragraph. On December 4th, 1885, a heavy straight wind threatened the newly raised walls with destruction. Other buildings then under construction in the area were blown down, and loose lumber at the seminary site was spread over the hills to the south. But the seminary walls, to the great relief of all concerned, survived the storm. An eyewitness wrote, "There we were, looking on the swaying walls, but the wind subsided, and here on the hill, the walls are still standing proudly erect. God be praised." Another paragraph. As the building neared completion in 1886, an extremely hot summer set in. This posed a special problem for the tinsmith who was to put the roof on the building. For one thing, he lost his assistant who found the heat on the roof unbearable. As it turned out, the heat was so intense that it was necessary to keep a bucket of water available to cool the handles of the soldering irons so that they could be held. But the work continued, and in the fall of 1886, classes met in the new building. One could continue in those earlier years. I'd like to read something else for a slightly different change of pace. It was not all crises. There were some magnificent moments as well. Page 116, cooperation, David, not competition. To confine, the author continues on page 116. The chapter is entitled, incidentally, New Boats Sail On. To confine the discussion of campus activity in the 20s to the building program is to leave out half the story, for there were numerous other developments of importance which took place during those years. Perhaps the most dramatic single event occurred at the commencement exercises in 1922, when the first Bachelor of Arts degree was awarded by Dana College. The recipient of this first baccalaureate was a woman, Miss Esther Bonnison of Kimballton, Iowa. I was impressed by that when I read it, that Dana College, 61 years ago, could have been that forward-looking. The first degree was by a woman. In this day of the affirmation of women's rights, Dana was a half a century early in making that affirmation, or 1,900 years late, whatever is the... Continuing with this century of crisis, we turn to page 145, and these were the Depression years. In 1932, the deepening effects of the Depression were felt, and Nelson, then the president, reported to convention that as the result of three combined factors, there was again a deficit. The factors were a shortage of over $5,000 in church support, a serious decrease in income from the endowment, and the inability of many students to pay their accounts in full. A special depression salary scale was adopted. Curtailed salaries and a reduced faculty might help to adjust to the stringent conditions, but these were not enough in themselves. Various other measures were therefore employed by President Nelson in the attempt to bring Dana College and Trinity Seminary through the Depression, a century of crises. Moving on, because of the Depression, the college was literally unable to celebrate its 50th anniversary. Because of the Depression, many felt that elaborate preparations for a celebration in 1934 could not be made, and it was decided to postpone the 50th anniversary celebration until 1936. The crises continue, from Depression to World War. A few more paragraphs. College President Searsbeck also addressed himself to the question of Dana's continued existence. Would the school survive? These are now his words, quoted by the author. The year 1943-44 is ahead. What will it mean to our school, we do not know. It will most likely do one of two things. It could spell the end of a great endeavor for which the pioneers excelled us in faith. It may be the test of a victorious spirit that cannot die, a spirit that can adapt its resources to an educational program born out of an unbiased, positive Christian faith. To this end, may God help us. End of Searsbeck's quotation. The convention echoed these sentiments. It strongly emphasized the importance of the continued operation of Dana, despite lowered enrollment, and urged that every congregation send at least one more student. Numerous letters from former students who had entered the service and who wanted to express their appreciation for what Dana had given them began to pour in. Many of them also took up the challenge of those who favored closing. Perhaps the most vigorous letter of this sort appeared in the Hermes in October 22, 1943, written by a young former student, then a lieutenant in the Army. These words from that young lieutenant: if Dana closes, that will be just one less thing to live for. All these nostalgic advertisements that flood the magazines of today touch a soft spot with those of us who are in the service. Yes, we want things just as they were when we left, once we return. That is, we want the good things to be there. We can do nicely without some of the seamy things in our American scene, but Dana is one of those good things in the life of those who knew her in the pre-war years. She must stand firm. She must go on. Often I wonder in which of the future Septembers I'll see again the silhouette of Old Main against the late summer sunset. No longer a lieutenant, no longer even young. The writer is on our faculty, Norman Vanson. There were others also who raised determined protests when the subject of closing the college was broached. Hermes editor John W. Nielsen wrote his final editorial in May 1945 and called attention to the latest flood of rumors concerning Dana's closing. He particularly criticized those former students who favored such a course, arguing that they had attended Dana bodily but had never let the spirit of the college enter their lives. He closed with an appeal to all his readers to urge their pastors and delegates to the synod to oppose the suggestion of closing Dana. One cannot help wondering what the fate of Dana and Trinity would have been if these various individuals had not spoke out in opposition to closing. One could continue, friends in Christ, with this theme of a century of crises, but they were in every instance a series of crises encountered and conquered. They were conquered because it was not only a century of crises, it was a century with Christ. It was a century spent in glorifying his holy name by seeking to proclaim his presence here in these educational activities. And friends in Christ, that is why Dana College will not only survive but prosper for yet another century. That is why Dana College deserves your support, because the purpose which spawned her to serve Jesus Christ is our purpose today. The destiny which draws her on is that same destiny which brought those Danish pioneers to the slope of the Missouri River and had them build this college, a college of the church. O hail, fair Dana, hail to thee. Thy children guide aright. May they, in faith and hope and love, praise him who dwells above. Welcome to the beginning of our centennial year. Dr. Wayne Weisenbuehler, would you be so kind as to bring us a greeting from the district?
The brothers and sisters throughout the Central District say to Dana College, congratulations, we love you, we support you, we are proud of you. And as I look around, I say, you look pretty good for being 100 years old. You don't look 100, Callis, maybe, but not Dana College. To me, it is altogether fitting that Dana should, we should begin our 100th year anniversary and celebration at a time when the Lutheran Church throughout the world is celebrating the 500th anniversary of the birth and baptism of Martin Luther. I want to just say today a few words of special love and gratitude that the whole church has for both of these gifts, for Dana College and good brother Martin, because there are three things that they share in common. Number one, they share a passion for the gospel that determines all things. To understand Luther and to understand Dana College is to understand that at the very heart of all of our existence and hope is a belief that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth. Secondly, is the insistence that both have that the reality of creation be taken very seriously, and that God's good gifts of mind and reason be fully appreciated and utilized, that the strength of the human mind would be a terrible thing to waste, and that the purpose is that life be lived and the world cared for the sake of the neighbor. Thirdly, Dana and Luther share in common the passionate belief in the truth of vocatio, of call, of vocation, that all people have a call in Jesus Christ to use the gifts that they have been given in the opportunity that lay before them to serve the neighbor, to serve the neighbor, to serve society. Dana's vocation is to make use now, in this time, of our unique situation in history and society, based on our past, on our peculiar resources, and our commitment to the future. Therefore, the Central District gratefully, gratefully joins Dana College in this commitment to its future. It is clearly beyond our strength, but in responding to such a calling, we ask God to sanctify us and to empty us that Christ may be all in all. Thank you.
Our thanks to the singers, to the combined choirs of Dana College and of First Lutheran Church in Blair. Our thanks also to Dr. Paul Navy, who not only conducted the choir concert, but also composed the final number that we were privileged to hear. And now, friends in Christ, would you join with me in welcoming to our podium the presiding bishop of the American Lutheran Church, Dr. David Preuss.
Thank you. President Callis, Bishop Weisenbuehler, pastors, faculty, students, friends, alumni, all of you, I'm delighted to be a part of this celebration. I wasn't so sure a little while ago when Weisenbuehler stole my speech, and Callis, in one of his bursts of rhetoric, so surprised me that I dropped my anniversary plate from First Lutheran Church this morning. If it broke, why, you're going to be charged $17, President Callis. I want also to give a special word of commendation to the choir of First English Lutheran Church. This is the third go they've had today already in having to listen to me. And they stood it nobly through the first two. And I'm having a little trouble with my eyesight, so if anybody sleeps over there, I won't know it anyway. It puts me in mind of a statement that Maury Wee, whom some of you remember as the director of Lutheran student activities 25, 30 years ago, when he was called to the podium after there had been a number of speakers ahead of him, and he started his speech, and I offered this to you in the choir particularly and others of you who have had a long day of it. What a horrible death to die. What a horrible death to die. What a horrible death to be talked to death. What a horrible death to die. However, Lutherans have been well immunized to having plenty of talk, so here we'll go at it again. I want to speak a little bit about Dana as a school of the church, for that's what we care about. In the breadth of the church, we believe in education in general, yes, but that which called Dana College into being and that sustains Dana College and that maintains the support of all kinds of people throughout the church is that it is a school of the church. A school of the church, an arm of the church. We don't in the American Lutheran Church talk about our colleges being related to, which is kind of a fuzzy word that suggests that it's out there someplace with some kind of a historic timing on to the church. We talk about it as an arm of the church active in higher education. When the day comes, and God help that it doesn't, that they cease to be that, the church will begin to lose interest in this jewel that has been treasured by the church, given birth by the church, fed and sustained by the church, in order that the young people of the church might be given opportunity for this kind of an education, in order that the church might be fed by those who come out from these institutions to provide leadership, support, loyalty, encouragement, a voice for the gospel that is learned and devoted. Celebrating Luther's 500th anniversary in this same book, the very frontispiece is a quote from Luther, who said, "When the schools prosper, then all is well and the church flourishes, providing the teaching is pure. Young students are the seed and the source of the church. When we die, from whence come others to take our place if not from the schools? For the sake of the church, then, we must establish and maintain Christian schools, for God upholds the church through the schools." Sometimes we get that too much turned around and have the notion that it is the church that is to uphold the schools. That's true, but it's got to be both. the school upholding the church. It's always a source of pride for me, the thanksgiving, to hear somebody like President Callis stand up and tell the story of the school of the church, or President Madsen before him, or any of a number of others of faculty, students, alumni, who speak that word about Dana College as a school of the church. A.M. Anderson, when he began this college, left that which he had been called to as a parish pastor under the impelling call to provide the church with a school. You just reflect for a moment. Only 100 years ago, I've got an uncle that I visit who's 101 years old, still living, living then at the time when A.M. Anderson gathered those 5 or 6 students in a house down here someplace. In the beginnings of Dana College, with that man and 5 or 6 students. Now we worry about enrollments and have the continuing problems. Look at that man's faith. To start that kind of an enterprise with 5 or 6 people and a handful of others who knew that it was important that the church build not only its congregational sanctuaries, but also its educational arms. The church always needs a learned membership. It is true that God summons us all by the gospel without our reason or strength being the motivating cause therefore. We learn in our catechism, I cannot by my own reason or strength. We don't intellectualize our way into the kingdom. We don't assault the barricades of heaven and pull them down and march in triumphant. And the least of us is capable of hearing the gospel and being brought into a living faith in the living God. It is not primarily an intellectual exercise. But as the church lives and grows and reaches out and calls its people to the vocation of which the bishop spoke, then it is absolutely imperative that that membership grow apace in its understanding of the faith and in its ability to interpret that faith into the enormously complex character of human society. It is possible to have simply that beginning childlike faith, but it will not sustain you endlessly through a growing intellectual expanding life unless there is growth also in the depth and breadth of what it means to be a woman, a man in Christ. And so we study those scriptures. We share our understandings. We say that it's important for college students to become advanced students of the scriptures also, as well as advanced mathematics and advanced history and languages and all of the rest. A learned membership. We need to know what thinkers have thought, what discoveries science has made, what the arts have provided, and to be able to critique that and to claim it from a knowledge and a commitment to Christ, who is Lord of the whole smash. To be able to see and to comprehend and to reach out and share in the whole range of human existence from a beginning point that enables us to have a point from which all of it can be made to be understandable and provide for us an avenue of entrance so that we can make our contributions on a human plane, yes, but not only on a human plane, as one called by God to give something that has more than a transitory value in the family of humanity. At any given time, our American society is a hodgepodge of philosophies that can lay claim to us without our even knowing it. We need to have a cadre of people who understand that Platonism is very much with us and hedonism
and all those kinds of big words that describe something that college students wrestle with are still very much at work seeking to lay claim to us, and do with remarkable frequency and insidious character. And we're in the worst shape when we don't even know what's happening to us. To have a learned membership that have wrestled intellectually, personally, morally, with the kind of options that human life is always tossing up, and to be able to say in the midst of that, we are the called out people of Jesus Christ, and with his guidance, strength, and power, we will set our course to bring that which he offers into this mix and find our way through in ways that will strengthen and ennoble the human race and provide a future that's something more than just some more television sets and some more aerials and some more weapons that can destroy. Yes, Dana College is a school of the church, an arm of the church that is reaching out to provide a learned opportunity for the church and a learned membership for the church and a learned leadership for the church. And that is as much needed today as it was 100 years ago, if anything more. Dana College's people, past, people present, and people preparing for the future. It's a beautiful campus out here, and magnificent walking over here this afternoon. It's just a glorious spot, and that's something to rejoice in. Facilities that are excellent and getting better all the time. Those are important, but at bedrock, they don't amount to anything except for the people. On a Founders Day, on the eve of All Saints Day, you can't help but think of that A.M. Anderson. I don't even know who he was. Read that little bit of a blurb in the front of this book. It tells about him coming over from Denmark, but he was a pastor with a passion. Not only did he help establish this college, but he took trips back over to Denmark to get other pastors to come on along. And I can remember from my earliest days hearing about Klaus Clausen, who managed to get mixed up with the Norwegians and then after a while got rid of them and established true religion down here at Dana College and Trinity Seminary. But those people devoted their lives to the building of the church and to building of the church in its educational arms. I don't know anything that has made Lutheranism in this United States stronger than its colleges. I suspect every one of them has its A.M. Anderson and a handful of others who were willing to pour their life, you know, without any guarantee of a salary for tomorrow or anything else, into building these schools. I know enough about those crises of which the president read at all of our schools to know that they came again and again, and it was only because there were people that said, we will not let this die. The church needs this institution, and we will give ourselves to it in order for it to live. As a little lad, I was growing up in those depression years at one of these colleges when the same story was going on every year. Is the school going to be open next fall or isn't it? And it was devoted faculty people who said, we won't let it close. Sometimes they got no salary. And as the child of the president of the faculty of the college, every Saturday night, for a couple of years, it was my job to go over to the boarding club and get a great big pail of baked beans. My folks were smart enough to make us think that we got them every Saturday night because we sure like beans. I didn't know until years later that was the pay we got. And that's what kept us alive. And it was folks like that that have again and again said, this college will live in order to be a better institution, to provide its ministry to more people, So on All Saints Day, we've got a lot of folks on the 100th anniversary to say thank you for, who were ready to give everything they had to make an institution of the church a great educational institution of the church. For me, in the course of my years, I've always thought of Bill Larson in connection with Dana College, because he was the one that I got to know best, first as my pastor, while a student at the University of Minnesota, and then, to my amazement, a few years later, I succeeded him as a pastor, campus pastor at the University of Minnesota. Just a great Christian gentleman, a leader in the church, but before any of that leadership business, just a warm, devoted human being who had the capacity to let you know that his arms were around you, even if you were the kind of Scandinavians that didn't dare touch each other. And Dana College, for me, then typified by a man like Bill, he describes the kinds of saints that I know have entered into your lives and made an impact on you in many instances that has been decisive for your life. In our national offices, we've got a few of the graduates of Dana College. And after all, they're folks that describe something of what happened to them while they were in this institution. And a lot of you know them and know whereof when I speak when I say that Dana College can proudly point to people like Bonnie and Dick Jensen and Mark Thompson, who provide outstanding leadership for the church, for the society, who are just outstanding disciples of Jesus Christ. You move around in your imagination and think of all those folks that have gone out from this institution, who have received the best that can be given here, and then have taken their place in the ranks, the front lines, the congregations of the church, and the communities of this nation and all over the world. It's a proud picture, one that ought to stir us deep down in our hearts and make us glad for this college. And I want to say a word while talking about those saints for a couple that never did graduate from here. They never attended here. They came over from Denmark as adults. Mr. and Mrs. Chris Borup were parishioners of mine in Vermilion, South Dakota. This building is named after them. The Navies knew them well and very likely had something to do with the gift that came down here. But they were just a couple of devoted believers in Christ, belongers to the church, who said when God blessed them and brought fruitfulness to their farm, that when we leave here, let's make sure Dana College prospers. And so we gather in this place again and again. And I think of Chris and Mrs. Borup. And then there was Pauline Christensen, crusty old dame of a woman who came over here and married some fellow 50 years older than she was. And he left her with a struggling farm up there in Clay County, South Dakota, that she worked herself and made something of. And when it came time for her to write her will, she wrote it to Dana College. She'd been down here a few times and had seen these professors teaching these students and had caught something of the spirit of the place, and she loved Dana College, though she'd never been directly a part of it. And one of these buildings around here has got $175,000 that came for her farm, that is a part of the legacy that she left to this institution. Some of you folks out there are the kind of folk that can think seriously about those kinds of gifts in your own life, to say this institution is going to flourish. These young people and 100 more and 1,000 more and 5,000 more like them are going to have the opportunity for the finest Christian education that we can provide them. They're not going to be able to pay for it all themselves, and there aren't any tax dollars coming from any place, so it's folks like us. And either we write those wills and write those checks and say, let's give a part of what we are to this good institution. Or else we just keep on going from one crisis to the next. It's time to move on beyond that and to build this Dana College for the future so that the church will have this institution solid and established, providing its education and sending out into our midst young people educated within the context of the Christian faith and able to stand wherever they are with Martin Luther and all of those followers of his who know that the school marches side by side with the church. Dana College, a school of the church with people as its primary commodity, a learned membership for the future of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's a vision, a mission worth being a part of. God bless Dana College as it launches into its second century. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Preuss. We appreciate your being with us today and taking time out to both remind us of our roots and inspire us to look to the future with confidence. Friends, during this entire centennial year, we made a decision last year that we would give out 100 awards, 100th anniversary, 100 awards. We call the recipients of those awards the Dana 100. We have picked out 100 individuals or family units or organizations who have been of significance in the life of Dana. Obviously, when you have a 100-year history, there have been more than 100 individuals or family units or organizations that have been helpful. And therefore, the list of the Dana 100 will not be exhaustive, but simply illustrative of those who have gone out of their way to aid this institution. We are giving out some of those awards at each one of the different festival occasions of this calendar year. We gave out some yesterday at homecoming. We want to give out 3 more Dana 100 awards today. We recognize that there will be many people who will not receive one, who are equally deserving. But we are also confident that everyone who does receive one is a good and solid friend of Dana College. With those general words of introduction, friends, we're going to give them out because one of the rules that we drew up for ourselves is that in giving out these Dana 100 awards, there'd be no speeches associated with them because each recipient is valuable and worthy of an entire program in their own right. So with those words, we're going to give out 3 of those awards this afternoon. This one we are going to give to First Lutheran Church of Blair, with whom we share common roots. And we're going to ask Pastor Carl Schotthauer to accept this on behalf of our brothers and sisters at First Lutheran. And then Bishop Wayne Weisenbuehler, whose contributions to Dana I tried to list earlier, a good friend of the college. Wayne Weisenbuehler, we'd like to give you this and call you one of the Dana 100.
It's our honor. Thank you.
And because he broke his plate from First Lutheran, and I do not intend to buy him another one, we're going to give one of these also to David Preuss. And we also tried to indicate already what a good friend he has been to Dana College. David, would you accept this from us, please?
Thank you very much. It's beautiful.
And we know that once the program adjourns, it's going to be impossible to get them together for a picture. So if you'll bear with us, we'd like to gather the 3 of them right here. And Mark, you want to take a picture? the Aid Association for Lutherans, an insurance company in Wisconsin, Appleton, Wisconsin, has always been a strong supporter and encourager of education on the Christian college campus. And they have traditionally made presentations to the colleges of the Lutheran Church as they celebrate significant anniversaries. And here with us this afternoon is a representative from Aid Association of Lutherans for Lutherans, Mr. Lars Granath. We'd like to invite you to take the microphone at this time, Lars. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Callis. Bishop Preuss, Bishop Weissenbuehler, Dr. Callis, Dana College faculty, Pastors Schattauer, Pastor Sortland, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Aid Association for Lutherans, I'd like to offer my congratulations to Dana College on its 100th anniversary. Dana College has a long and distinguished history of serving our church and society. And looking around me today, I am confident the future will be even more exciting. On a more personal note, being Scandinavian born, although Swedish, I appreciate the fact that Dana College is a keeper of Scandinavian culture and that the college carries on a tradition of excellence in education. AAL has a high regard for education. Our purpose is to help people to help themselves. Since education is one of the best ways to make that happen, I guess you could say we share a common goal. As you're probably aware, AAL regularly provides scholarships to thousands of Lutheran students. In fact, 13 students on this campus are currently receiving our support. In addition, your college is eligible for $15,000 per year in direct grants for special projects and programs. But for this occasion, an occasion as special as this, we thought something extra would be appropriate. To help Dana College celebrate its 100th anniversary, I am pleased to present to you, President Callis, this check for $25,000. Congratulations on your first century and best wishes on the beginning of the second. Dr. Callis.
Thank you very much. Don't go away.
Lars, on behalf of all of us Scandinavian Lutherans, Dr. James Callison accepts this on behalf of Dana College. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mark, can we get a picture here? You might give us 5,000 more.
Thank you.
all are invited for the reception following this, to cap off this day of celebration at the C. Hunt Campus Center. Let us close with prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the blessings of freedom and peace and celebration in Jesus Christ. Make your gospel shine through each one of us, through this school, and through this congregation. Shine through us into this dark world, the light of mercy for the sinner, the light of justice for the oppressed, the light of love and life for the empty and lonely. Bless us, Lord, as we leave today. In Jesus' name, amen.